the Lord's table and giving, and thankful once again for your presence on this morning. Thankful that God woke us up and allowed us to be here, this privilege we have to be able to come and to worship him once again. And so we're thankful for each of you on this morning. Amen. So first want to just say welcome to our visitors. Anyone visiting with us for the very first time today, if you could just raise your hand. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Good. Glad to have you, and glad to have you. We have some information on your way out, a packet of information that we love to be able to give to you, and we thank you for coming and visiting and being with us on this morning. We were, Crystal and I and the kids, we were away at first in Massanutten, Virginia, and up in the mountains. And we had a good time there, and in God's country, and the altitude, however, kind of messed with a lot of us a little bit. But it was absolutely beautiful being there. And then we got back home, and then we went right back out to, Crystal and I went to the lectureship down in Maryland for the last few days. And that was a great encouragement, seeing brothers and sisters from the body, you know, from the area. And so we gained some great encouragement from that as well. And so, but like I said earlier, if you didn't hear it, it's good to be home. There's no place like home. And so we're thankful to be back safe and sound and all. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 20. Thank you, Kamal, for reading the entire chapter. I'm going to start at verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that he ministered to the saints, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest, even after the order of Melchizedek. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for your word. We pray that your word may be a word for us, that we might be able to eat from the bread of life here, be able to gain nourishment, encouragement, strength, that we might continue to endure to the very end. Bless us this morning, Lord. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Thank you, Lord, once again for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And before I move forward, I just want to thank Mark for stepping into this place on last week. I appreciate your lesson. Amen. Amen. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now. All right. I want us to look at a few words. Verse 9, 10. It talks about diligence, hope, continuing to the very end, inheriting God's promises through faith and perseverance. He also then continues and starts talking about not being slothful or sluggish. He wasn't talking about laziness. He was talking about being sluggish and slothful to the word and the impact of the word in our lives. In that there is, if you go on back to chapter 2 for a moment, verse 1, it says, therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard? He's warning about the impact of the word in our lives. How does it impact us? We should hear God's word. We should want to believe God's word. We should want to obey God's word and put it into practice in our lives. And yet there are times where the word falls upon us and yet it doesn't make the impact it ought to make. It's not because there's anything wrong with the word. Sometimes the heart has become hardened to that word. And so he's sharing with us, first of all, here he's writing to those who are Christians, right? He's not talking to those on the outside. He's talking to family, the family of God. And oftentimes we talk about, and I share about the fact that this Christian life is a journey, right? It's not a sprint. It's not a quick race. This is a long journey. We have a long distance run ahead of us, and in any journey, we're trying to get somewhere. In a race, you're trying to get to the finish line. You want your hands raised in the air, and you want to be able to receive the reward of that, right? We want to hear that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. We want to hear our name called from the book of life, but yet we understand that there is a struggle. There is some things that we're going to just struggle with through this life. Now, as Christians, one of the things I share often as well is that we go through seasons, right? God, when you look in Genesis chapter 1, God created seasons. He created seasons in nature, and even in our life, we see seasons of our lives, even in our Christian walk. We're going to have different seasons. We're going to have those times where we are on fire. I mean, everything is hot. It's summertime, right? I mean, there's a lot of activity and all that. And then there are some times where things start to cool down a little bit. And so the Hebrew writer here is trying to share with us, you know, the type of attitude we should have, the type of mindset we should have in order to endure to the very end. Because while this is a long journey, it's going somewhere and it's taking us somewhere as well. And I don't know about you, it's a long journey, and sometimes this is the journey, up and down and up and down, but one thing I don't want to do is jump off. Hello. And yet some people, as he's sharing here, will not just drift, but drift to the point of letting go, jumping off. And that was some of the admonishment that he was giving earlier before we started picking up in verse 9. Christian life is a long journey, and it wears us down, and especially when we lose hope. Especially when we lose hope. There was a man. Chris and I were going to go down to the Holocaust Museum, and we were on our way down there and all that, and just timing messed it up, and so we forgot that and just went straight to the lectureship instead. But I was thinking about a man, Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist. And many of you may have read of his book, The Search for Meaning, something along that line, Man's Search for Meaning. And he writes in here about a phenomenon, something that he saw. Obviously, he overcame Nazi concentration camp. His family was taken there, and himself also. Many of his family members were killed in a concentration camp. Him being a psychiatrist, he's looking at these men and women and the atrocities that were done to them. Starved, beaten, raped, tortured, used as guinea pigs in science experiments, put in gas chambers and killed in masses. And then he saw that there was a couple of groups of people that he was looking at and observing and able to see that there were some that were giving up, and some that even throughout all these atrocities and seeing all that they saw, all of the trauma, continued to fight on, He was one of those that continued to fight on and was eventually, obviously, allowed out of this situation. But one of the things he recognized was, you might be able to imprison me, but you can't imprison my mind. You can't stop me from seeing the hope that is before me. And one of the observations that he made was that there were some that gave up, and he saw the ones that gave up, and he noticed looking at their stories and all of that, that the ones that gave up usually were those that had no hope beyond their present circumstance. They didn't have any more family members that were waiting for them to be able to. There was no anticipation of the grandkids or the this or the that and all that. They looked at the circumstances that they were in at that moment and saw nothing beyond the pain and the suffering that they were going through. And so because of that, they gave up. And yet he saw a resilience in some of the people with the same situations happening to them, with the same trauma, that there were some that decided there's something to live for. There's something that I've got to fight for. There's something that I've got to continue to persevere for, because there is something at the end of this. And they didn't know when, we know when everything was over and all that, and D-Day and all. We know, but they didn't. They had to live each day not knowing, when are we going to get freed from this captivity? When? And so they had to take day by day in harsh conditions none of us can even imagine in our lives. Well, brothers and sisters, God is giving us something, and he wants us to fight for something. He wants us to recognize that there is a hope beyond this thing called life. That life is going to throw its challenges at us. Yes, life is, we're going to have that roller coaster of ups and downs in life, but there is something greater Jesus has already prepared for us. And we need to walk in that, and we need to remember that. I want you to look back at verse number 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. But, beloved, we are persuaded of better things for you. He's showing that, let me get to this, weariness. Our weariness can lead us to drift away from God, can lead us to drift. And I want you to see something. He believed that we could recover even from the spiritual things, these spiritual momentums. In verse 10, he says, God is not unrighteous so as to forget your work and labor of love which you showed toward his name. First, I want you to see earlier, he said, beloved, you are loved. You're loved by God and loved by God's people, and we're persuaded there's something better for you. We don't have to drift away. We don't have to give up. We don't have to continue in immaturity. No, he wants something greater from us. He starts in the beginning of the chapter that there all the time we ought to be more mature. We need to let go of these principles, these basic principles, and go deeper with God. And the Lord wants us to go deeper with him. And I'm not just talking about intellectual knowledge. Go deeper in our relationship with God. Trust him more. Believe him more. Be strengthened by him more. And we're going to talk about the anchor, but be anchored in him, in his, and more, and that will keep us from the drift. I remember when I was a child, I went to go with my aunt. We were down in Coney Island, and I was out there. Man, I was having a good time out. It was the beach right there, Coney Island Beach, and the waves were coming in really nice. And I'm out there. I'm body surfing on there, and then every now and then when I went go get hungry, I went back. And then this one time, I went back, and I'm like, all right, I'm going back to the water. And I was just having a good time all by myself, right? My cousins, they were there. They were sitting, and my aunt, they were all sitting on the beach still. And I was just having a good time. And then I was like, you know what? I think I've been out here a little too long. Let me get back. And I turned back around, and where they at? I thought they were right here. I thought they were right next to the lifeguard station. And then if you look down the beach, there's lifeguard stations every certain, I don't know what the distance is, but they all look the same. Then I start going, wondering, like, I'm lost. I'm lost as a child. I'm lost in New York. I'm lost, and I didn't know who to go to. So finally, I just looked up at the lifeguard and said, hey, I cannot find my aunt anywhere. This was 4th of July. I remember it well. So they took me to the place where they took all the children, the lost children, and I stayed there. Oh, I wasn't the only one. Yes, I was not the only one. I had company. And we all had that look, like, you know, of concern, like, you know, will anybody come pick us up? And finally, I remember seeing my aunt, and she didn't look with a lot of joy when she saw me. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's why I remember this story so well. But the reality is, we know what happened. I didn't know while I was in the water. I wasn't trying to drift. I was having a good time. I was having a good time. And yet the current, little by 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 little moved me away from where I was supposed to be. The writer says that we be not slothful, but followers of him who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word needs to touch us. The word needs to affect us. Our desire ought to want to be, once again, to grow deeper and go deeper with God. And when those things are absent, we start to drift a little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit until at some point we might look and say, I'm lost. I'm lost. And it happens bit by bit, compromise by compromise, little by little by little by just how we grow. It's the same way we grow also, right? Little by little, you don't get all your spiritual muscles and all that. It's by little by little by little. But what are we presenting ourselves to? What are we giving ourselves to? If we give ourselves to the things of God, he gives us a little more strength and a little more strength and a little more strength and a little more strength. But when we give ourselves to the things of the devil, he moves us away a little bit more, a little bit more, a little more compromise, a little more relaxation, a little bit more. of lulling away from the things of God. Weariness can lead us to drifting. One of the things he says, go back to verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward him in his name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. It's sharing here that God sees and saw their works. God saw their love. God sees and saw their service. That's encouraging. There were some times, let's just be honest, there's just some times that maybe man won't see, and you know, you won't be brought up on the stage, and your name might not be in the newsletter, or it might be, and sometimes we think, well maybe others are overlooking it. You know, you serve and sometimes can feel overlooked. You can pour into people that sometimes will never say thank you. You can keep showing up for Bible class and yet have no children that are here. You come and you do the work and you do the work, and yet it looks like no one sees anything, but God, who sits on his throne up high, looks down low and sees his children. He knows what we're going through. He knows the struggles that we have. He knows when we're just putting on the face. How you doing, brother? I'm doing good. How you doing, sister? Blessed, highly favored. But while men may not say thank you, while men might not say, good job, brother, good job, sister, God sees those things and he knows. And so he shares, I'm seeing your work and all that. And while you might get tired in those things, there is a reward for that as well. He says that we not be sluggish, and some versions say slothful, but followers of those who through faith and perseverance inherit the promises. He's going to now shift a little bit to give us some example, a particular example. He's going to point us to Abraham. He's saying we should look at Abraham in order to prove this point, that you be not slothful followers of him through faith and patience inherit the promises. If you're going to inherit the promises, it's through faith and patience. It's believing and waiting. It's believing and hoping. In Spanish, the word for hope is esperanza. Esperanza. That is a derivative of the word in Spanish, esperar. Esperar. Sister, I know you, if you don't mind me, do you know what esperar is? I mean, the meaning of that word. It's there. But what else? There's another word for it. I'm trying to leave. Huh? Wait. Thank you, sis. And you're right. And you're righter. No, I'm just messing. No. But we're both right. But I want you to see this. I want you to see the connection, right? That there's a connection to waiting and hoping. Your hope is a wait. It's an expectancy. I expect God to deliver because of who he is. And that's where he shares this later. He makes a promise. He makes an oath. And there's no one else that he can, you know, I promise I'm going to do this. I know there's many people that's told you that. I promise Friday when my check comes. Hello, I'm going to pay you back. And then Friday come and the phone didn't ring. Anyway, he's saying we can trust God, trust his promises, trust and expect that he's going to deliver. But here's the thing about God, and we all know this. God may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time, right? God doesn't operate on our timetable. God operates on his own timetable. That's why he's God. And so we have to trust God. We have to be patient with God. We have to continue to believe and to hope and to expect that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And so then he brings Abraham onto the scene as an example of this very thing. Abraham was told that he was going to have this seed blessing, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And at 75 years old, he's told and given this promise. But guess what? 25 years went by before Isaac came on the scene. Day after day, well, when's God going to come and deliver? Year after year, when's God going to deliver? And you know how we are in the waiting room, right? In the waiting room of God, where sometimes we get a little restless. Lord, when are you going to show me? Lord, when are you going to open that door? Lord, when are you going to allow? When, Lord? And so in the waiting, we get a little restless sometimes. We get a little weary sometimes. We can be a little flighty sometimes in these moments, waiting on God. And that's why the encouragement is here. First of all, it's something all of us can attest to. All of us understand this, that uneasiness. Lord, I thought you would have fixed it already. You know, I got fired already, and it's 5 months. Oh, when are you going to deliver? I got that call from the doctor. When are you going to heal this, Lord? Lord, when? And these are real life things and real life struggles that Christians go through as well. God knows it, and yet he shares with us and shows us hope beyond what we see here on this earth. There's something that Jesus has already prepared for us to be able to obtain, and that's the hope that we have to have before us. That's the strength that we need. That as Viktor Frankl, as he was looking at those that gave up hope, they gave up strength. Their strength waned because they gave up hope. And yet there were others that still maintained, and I got to keep fighting for something. I got to keep fighting to see the end. I want to see my grandchildren. I want to see my wife. I want to see my mother. I want to see. So I'm going to hold on for hope, for that expectancy of what I'm going to have later on. And that's what he's talking to us right now, that there's a fight and there's a battle and there's a war that is waging right now. And the enemy, he desires to move us away from God and allow us to drift. And finally, when we get to this place, he wants you to let go. See, and that's what he's talking about earlier in the chapter, right? For it's impossible for those who've been enlightened and have tasted this heavenly gift, were partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, the powers of God, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves to the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. These aren't just people who slipped. These aren't just people who fell down. These aren't just people who just got weak. We all get weak. He's sharing with us and encouraging us in our driftedness to get back to focus on what we ought to be focused on. But these are people who had gotten to that point, drifted, and let go. No longer believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. No longer recognize what hope they have in him any longer. They saw the circumstances around and gave up. And when you have no more hope, there's no more hope of Jesus and his salvation, you have nothing. We have nothing. He says, and so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise, talking about Abraham. Abraham waited. He waited. And yet there was a time that came where he had not need not wait anymore. I'm not even pushing these slides. God is promising us to strengthen us, to give us strength for the journey. And the strength for the journey is found in a deeper, closer relationship with him. As we move closer to him, he gives us those little bits of strength, a little bit more hope, a little bit more that we need at that time. But it starts with us desiring and wanting to be with him, to know him, to hear him, to not get dull of hearing and doing our stuff and our will, but wanting to find out what God's will is for us. God has given to us forgiveness, resurrection from the dead, eternal life, his presence, and an unshakable kingdom. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. He's given us this, and I think we need to be reminded of this. Because sometimes we're looking at this kingdom. How do I fit in this kingdom here? Brother look like he's doing a little bit better than me. Sister look like she's doing a little bit better than me. They look like the Joneses look like they're doing a little better. You know Jones is over there, right? The Joneses look like they're doing a little better than us, right? And so we worried about this kingdom and all of that and preoccupied with all that, and yet those aren't the things that are going to give us the strength. Yeah, we need to eat and we need to provide and we need to take care and all of that. But we cannot forget God and his promises that he gave to us through Jesus Christ and what we are to obtain, this forgiveness of sins, this resurrection from the dead, this eternal life that we have, him being with us, and then this kingdom that we have, that he's given to us. We have to remind ourselves, my hope is built on nothing less, Jesus' blood and righteousness. God, verse 17, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope which is before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I want you to see this. He's saying, I was out there in that water. I was body surfing. But I'll tell you what, if I had a little something on my leg, an anchor on my leg, don't try this. Please don't try this with nobody, no person, all right? I just want the image in your head. There's only so far I could go, and the anchor's going to. That doesn't mean I won't drift a little. But the anchor's going to keep me in place, so that I won't go too far out, too far to the left, too far to the right, too far front, too far back. Why? The anchor of my soul holds us down. When the storms start to rage and when circumstances and situations in our lives start to come, those storms of life start to beat upon us, we'll continue to stand. He'll hold us in place. Doesn't mean you won't feel it. Don't mean you won't get wet and hurt and thrown and tossed. But it means that that holds us back in place. See, remember that here's a beautiful thing about our relationship with God. That even while we go through the things, even sometimes while we fail God and while we move away from God and all that, all we've got to do is look again to the cross. Look back to what Jesus did. Look at his suffering. Look at him overcoming that. Look at the fact that he went and before us as a forerunner to get to heaven to prepare the way for us. And he showed us exactly how to do it. He showed us it's not an easy walk. Jesus is in Gethsemane. He's crying out to the Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm going to continue looking toward the end. I recognize that the very purpose I came was to go and to fulfill this to the very end. And so that's what Jesus does. And that's what he's sharing for us to do. That's the encouragement that he's sharing for us to do, that even through life circumstances and all that, looking back to Jesus, keep looking to him, keep looking up, keep continue to look to God for his promises, for he will fulfill them. I love this about Abraham. Abraham, after Isaac comes, what does the Lord tell him to do? Go sacrifice him. What? The seed promise, go kill him? This doesn't even make any sense, Lord. And I want you to see something. Abraham was going to do it. It wasn't until he was starting to come down that the angel was, oh, stop! He was going to do it. Abraham believed in God's promises so much that he believed, even if he allows me to do this, he will raise my son back up from the dead, because God, it's impossible for God to lie. He made this promise, and I believe it, I live it, I feel it, I know it, I'll do it, but I know you're going to be true to your word, God. He's telling us, look at Abraham. Look at yourself. Look at Abraham. Look at us. When we feel God hasn't come quick enough or you know, and all that, continue to look up. Look to the examples he's given to us. Look to the greatest example in Jesus Christ. Look to the example of Abraham. Look at, in Hebrews chapter 11, he's going to be showing us various other examples of those who had to persevere, those who had to go through some things, and yet here we are in our story right now, living it out. Don't get weary. Don't let go. I mean, you might drift a little, but get, remember your anchor. Continue to look to him. Continue to live for him. Continue to keep looking up. When the weight becomes long, when the burden heavy, when you can't see how the situation's going to turn around, remember what God has done. Remember what he has promised. And remember where Jesus is and where now he calls us to. It says he's a forerunner, just like John was a forerunner preparing the way for Jesus. And now Jesus is preparing the way for who? For you and I. Brothers and sisters, God has something great in store. And if you have not yet obeyed Jesus Christ and have not yet come into this relationship with him, one of the things he gives is not only forgiveness of sins, but hope beyond today, beyond this life. I don't know if you've been living long enough, but one of the things I recognize that in this life, comes with a lot of toil, comes with a lot of trouble, comes with, that's what comes in this life. But there's hope. I think when you look at the book of Revelation, it's a book of hope. It's a book that's pumping hope into people who are being persecuted and killed and people who were being tied to chariots and all that. And for sport, they would split the bodies. One half on this horse, the other half on that horse, thrown into arenas and make game of Christians that were, the lions would go out and attack them and all that, fighting and dueling. And why? And these are the people he's talking to, because remember, one of the things that they start yelling and asking God is, how long, Lord? How long until you come down and stop this mess? How long, Lord, until you take vengeance on our oppressors? How long, oh Lord? The Lord didn't give them an answer. It's not for you to know. Right? Until my will is accomplished, it's not for you to know. In other words, he's telling, just keep holding on. Just keep holding on. And then the picture that's painted, the hope picture that's painted is heaven. All right? There's going to the suffering you had in heaven, no more death, no more dying, no more crying, no more tears. None of those things, those former things, are going to be there. That's the hope. Keep looking to him. Keep looking to him. When you're in your circumstance, keep looking to him. Not only keep looking to him, get closer to him. And then getting closer to him it helps us. Our anchor becomes more weighted and holds us in place a little bit more. And that's exactly what we need. We need to keep looking to God, keep serving Him, keep waiting on His return. Father in heaven, Lord, I just pray that You might help each of us, Lord. Bless us, Lord, in this lesson, and help us to continue to look to You. We know what happens when we stop focusing on You, stop praying to You, stop seeking Your will. Lord, give us that fresh fire. Help us, Lord, to be renewed in our spirits. Help us to draw closer to You. For You promise if we draw nigh unto You, You draw nigh unto us. The closer we get, Lord, the closer You get. Help us in our pursuit of You. We thank You once again, Lord, for loving us. The challenges of this world, Lord, all of us get challenged. Those in the body of Christ get challenged, and those outside the body of Christ get challenged. But there's something special that we have in You. We have a hope. We have an anchor for our souls. We have one that desires for us to continue to get closer and more intimate with, Lord. And when we do that, Lord, we become stronger and better as a result. Help us, Lord, and renew us and refresh us, Lord, and give us the right perspective. When we look on the TV, Lord, it sometimes is so distressing to see all the things that we see, the hate and the hurt, the violence. Help us, Lord, to recognize there's something greater beyond what we see right now, Lord. You're preparing us for something greater. Help us to fix our focus on that, Lord. Help us to fix our focus on You. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, keep each of us, Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here today and you have yet to come to Jesus Christ and surrender your life to Him. He gives you reason for living. He gives you a purpose to our walk and why we do what we do. And so maybe you're here today and you're going, you know, I've heard and I know Jesus Christ. I know Him, but I want to be in Him. I want to surrender to Jesus Christ. I want to give my life to Him. This can be your day. What do you need to do? You need to know who He is. Jesus is the Son of God. He's not just an ordinary man. He is Messiah. He is the Son of God. He fulfilled the prophecies that the Messiah, that they were waiting for, the Jews were waiting for. He fulfilled the prophecies. And He wants you to make Him Lord and King of your life. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was preaching a message, that the very first gospel message that was preached to this great crowd of those that were there in Jerusalem. And he shares with them this very fact, that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Messiah. The men, the people that were there, many of them were part of that crowd that just a week earlier were saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. And now they're being told, this was your Lord and Savior. This is Messiah you killed. And he preaches and shares with them. And it says after the fact that they were pricked in their heart. And they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They understood that there's something we need to do as a result of hearing this message. We've got to do something. And Peter tells them, repent, turn from your sins. Turn to God from your situation. Find the hope that's found in Jesus Christ and turn to Him. And then he also said, and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. He didn't say repent and say the sinner's prayer. He said repent and be baptized. He didn't say repent and wait for the Holy Spirit to hit you and then you start speaking in tongues and then that's when you know that you're saved. No, he said repent and be baptized. He didn't say repent and just take some classes and then be confirmed into a church and all that and go through this. No, he said repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be forgiven of sins, if you want the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, you've got to repent. You've got to turn to Him. You've got to be baptized. Why be baptized? Well, because He says so. He's God. He's God. Whatever He says, do. That's what we just need to put ourselves and say, look, I just want to do what the Lord says do. All right? And let's not overcomplicate it. Let's not, you know, I think man does that a lot. We overcomplicate things. This is what He's telling us to do. Why isn't that good enough? Then someone will say, well, that was Peter talking and all that, but really what he meant was it wasn't really water. It was this, it was that. No. Really? All right, anyway. Let's just do the simple things, like naming, right? Let's just do the simple things and be healed. Maybe somebody here today, you're ready to just give your life to Jesus. You're ready to obey Him. You're ready to have hope for tomorrow. This can be your today. Won't you come right now? Won't you turn from sin and turn to God and allow Him to clean us up and to make us into what He wants to be. And once again, that's just the starting point. It's a long journey. It's a long journey. But we've got a hope. We've got an anchor for our souls in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.